the paper now is given by Daniel Smith. Daniel Smith is assistant professor of economics at Troy University, Alabama. And in 2011, he obtained a PhD in economics at George Mason University. And he recently co-authored a paper with Pete Buttke, and the title is Who Influences the Fed? And in the material, you have certainly found two papers co-authored precisely Daniel Smith and Pete Buttke, and I will comment the paper afterwards.
Thank you very much, and before I even begin, I'd like to thank the Bruno Leone Institute and all of you for coming. It's a fantastic experience to come here and be able to engage in vibrant discourse with scholars interested in the same ideas that I am. So it's very exciting to be here, and I'm very honored to be part of this prestigious seminar. I think seminars like this are very important for the advancement of the ideas that we all care about. So I really appreciate this being part of this, and I hope this continues on for a very long time. To get into my paper, it's Monetary Policy and the Quest for Robust Political Economy. And Pete and I, what we're thinking, well, it shouldn't come as a surprise to everyone in this room that the economics profession failed to predict the financial crisis. In the aftermath, we have also failed to come up with consensus for what caused the financial crisis, including probably most egregiously is that we have failed to come to an agreement or discover or find the role that the Federal Reserve played in contributing to the financial crisis, as well as what could have the Federal Reserve done alternatively that might have prevented the financial crisis. And we believe that this this failure of the profession that's left the profession in disarray, looked down upon, we've become a laughing stock because we've failed to understand and explain this role. We believe that the profession has been led astray of the basic principles of economics, that we fail to apply the basic concepts that incentives and institutions and the flow of information matter. And we fail to apply those basic concepts of economics in precisely the institution that most represents economists, the Federal Reserve, at least in America. And instead of analyzing and bringing to the forefront concerns of political economy in the aftermath of the financial crisis, what we have done instead is we've come out with a lot of research trying to find the technical optimum. We've been trying, well, maybe if we recalibrate our model. So the profession is operating on the notion that all we have to do is find the right model to hand the Federal Reserve, and then the Federal Reserve will implement that correct policy. Completely absent from our analysis is concerns about political economy. And political economy, the economics of Smith and Hume, they put at the forefront of their analysis that you have to have robust political economy, that you have to incorporate the idea that you're going to have less than omniscient and less than benevolent people in power in charge of your political institutions in a contemporary democratic setting. Ignoring concerns of political economy is it's incomplete scholarship and maybe even fraudulent, I think. So I think that's what we think got us into this problem, is that we've had this exclusive focus on finding a technical optimum and just assuming away the problems of political economy. And kind of looking back, we're like, well, what led to this? And one of the things that might have led to this problem is that three of the foremost liberal scholars in the 20th century, Hayek, Friedman, and Buchanan, each believed that the Federal Reserve was necessary and that it could operate at the beginning of their careers. Now, slowly as they progressed throughout their careers, their ideas developed, and they eventually each came to the conclusion that the Federal Reserve couldn't operate the way it was, and that drastic restructuring of the Federal Reserve was necessary. Buchanan said constitutionalization, Friedman turned to turning it over to computer, and Hayek said denationalize money altogether and turn it over to the private sector. So the failure of the profession may actually go back to these ideas that these three liberal scholars failed to come to grips with as well and have struggled throughout their career with. And what we do is, what in this paper we're trying to do is we're trying to incorporate the lessons that Buchanan, Hayek, and Friedman learned in developing their ideas on the Federal Reserve and central banking in general, and order to try to redeem the profession and find a way forward. This slide I probably don't need for people in this audience, but obviously what happened in the financial crisis, it wasn't a failure of not having the right technical model. Even if we have the right technical model and we hand it over to the Fed, it won't be implemented in a contemporary political environment. Even if we have the right model and we ourselves are in control of the Federal Reserve, the optimal policy won't get implemented due to political pressures. We ourselves succumb to those political pressures as economists in the Federal Reserve. And we end up in the world that Adam Smith predicts in the Book 5 of The Wealth of Nations, with juggling tricks of deficit and debasement. And that's where we find ourselves in, because we have failed to find a way to control the Federal Reserve and central banking in general. Now, this paper it's a series of three papers. This is another paper in the series I'm just going to briefly mention. It's A Century of Accommodation, The Failed Record of Federal Reserve Independence. We go through a detailed, contextualized history, anecdotal history of the Federal Reserve. One of the reasons we did this is the first time we submitted this paper, it actually got rejected because the referee said that the Federal Reserve was independent, so our paper didn't make sense. So that kind of irritated me, so I went through the entire history of the Federal Reserve. We found all the episodes of corruption where they're pressured, and well, as writing that paper, this bottom paper by Santoro, that's actually the abstract of a paper from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York's current issues. So they actually, when the Federal Reserve was created, it was created to be independent of the Treasury, and now the Federal Reserve is actually publishing articles bragging about the relationship with the Treasury. That's how far corrupted and far afield we've gone from when the Federal Reserve was created. Even though we all acknowledge, even Bernanke himself acknowledges how important and realizes how important the independent Federal Reserve is, that paper goes through and totally demolishes any conception that the Federal Reserve has been independent ever. And then in the second follow-up paper to that, we go through all the empirical and theoretical evidence, and we conclude that we put it into three different categories of the influence on the Fed. One is the executive branch, which is very heavy. The legislative branch, not so much, but there is some evidence that the legislative branch influences Fed policy. A huge problem, especially in the financial crisis, is special interest groups. We have revolving doors between the regulators and the regulated. That's a huge problem with the current financial crisis. And then the bureaucratic structure of the Fed itself. We acknowledge that there's problems with political economy, that there's incentive problems in all sorts of areas of the economy. But when it comes to the institution that the economists control, we assume those away or we ignore those. And we think that the Federal Reserve is the ring in the Lord of the Rings. We use it out of desire to do good, but it corrupts us, and through using it, it does evil. So we argue that those are the four main branches of influence on the Fed in that paper. Now, to get back to the learning the lessons from Hayek, Buchanan, and Friedman on the evolution of their ideas on the Federal Reserve. F.A. Hayek, at the beginning of his career, thought the Federal Reserve was necessary, absolutely, and that it could operate. But by the end of his career, he evolved his ideas to, he said his idea was, speaking of the Book 5 of The Wealth of Nations, instead of letting nations juggle with debt debasement and deficits, he said just take the balls away, completely denationalize money. Milton Friedman had a similar evolution. He started out arguing that we needed to provide a stable monetary framework, but by the end of his career, he said that in his last interview, he said we should just hand it over to a computer. So he said we should tie the hands of the juggler instead of letting the juggler juggle. James Buchanan had a very similar argument as well. He went from the BRIC standard. He argued that the Federal Reserve was a necessary component. You needed a stable monetary framework. By the end of his career, he's arguing now for the constitutionalization of money. So he says we should create rules that make juggling illegal. So each one of these scholars started out their career deeply holding the belief that the Federal Reserve was necessary. Each of them at the end of their career said, you know what, my ideas failed. There's just no way this can operate in a contemporary political setting. So what we argue is that we need a return to robust political economy of Adam Smith and David Hume. Assume that the actors, the economic actors that are going to be controlling the Fed, are going to succumb to political pressures, and we need to bring back that ideas, and especially for the Federal Reserve, which is a very important part of the economy. We argue that the three lessons we can pull from Buchanan, Hayek, and Friedman are: number one, professional humility, is that we need to apply the same concepts of incentives matter, the basic fundamental principles of economics, to the Federal Reserve, and we have failed to do that, largely in part because the Federal Reserve is, most monetary economists in the United States work for the Federal Reserve or receive grants from the Federal Reserve, so the bureaucratic structure of the Federal Reserve prevents and discourages people from disagreeing with the Federal Reserve or critiquing its policies. So we need to adopt professional humility, and rather than putting ourselves as a savior of the economy using the Federal Reserve, we need to be students of the economy and appreciate the fact that even if we're in control of the Federal Reserve, we're still going to succumb to those political pressures. The second thing that we have to do is creative thinking. Buchanan, Friedman, and Hayek each use creative thinking to come up with new ideas on how to eliminate and drastically restructure the Federal Reserve rather than just monkeying around with adjusting it on the margin. Selgin, White, and Dowd have all advanced their ideas and offered free banking regime alternatives to the Federal Reserve, which I think is going in the right direction. And then the third is we have to focus on what's politically possible, not on just what's on politically feasible. Too often, there may be some legitimacy in arguing for things that are politically feasible to take gradual steps to what's politically possible. Arguing for something based merely on the fact that it's politically feasible is incomplete scholarship and not something that we should be arguing as a profession for what's politically possible, and hopefully shift the discourse from Federal Reserve is necessary in the public discourse to maybe opening up, well, let's have a serious discussion about free banking reform. So that's our paper. We hope that these ideas and following the evolution and the failure of Buchanan, Friedman, and Hayek can point the direction forward for the economics profession and hopefully redeem ourselves. We've really made a mess of things, and I think the way forward is, like I said, professional humility, creative thinking, and looking at politically possible, not just what's politically feasible. Thank you.